John chapter 14, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. In John chapter 10, verse 38. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father. Jesus' experience in his relationship with the Father was a prototype to our relationship with him. As the Son of Man, Jesus said he was in the Father, and the Father was in him, which governed everything that he did. That's why it says in that John 14:10, he says, it's the Father who's in me doing his works. Again, a familiar place is Acts 2, verse 22, and we'll come back to this scripture again in just a minute. He says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man tested you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst. And so again, even though Jesus was always God, very God, the doctrine of the kenosis, the self-emptying of Christ, Philippians 2, is that he emptied himself of the right to act out of his deity independently. And he lived as someone in the Father, in union with the Father. He was in the Father was in him. And then he goes on in John, in the Upper Room Discourse, and talks about us. Once Pentecost comes, the Holy Spirit comes, that we would be in him, and he would be in us. Just like he was been in the Father, Father's been in him. Now, I've been looking at some things this week in chapter 18 and 19 of John. And one of the places we looked at earlier in the week was that in several of the Gospels, three of them, it talks about Jesus' struggle in the garden. And three different times in the garden, he goes back to the Father and says, Lord, can this cup pass from me? But he says each time, but not my will, but your will be done. And so this battle that Jesus was having in his own humanity, of course, was settled. And the war was won there. Everything else he faced was not... That's why it says the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And the battle was won there. And so when they took him, put him on trial, they did the stuff they did to him, the battle had already been won. That's why we read this place in John chapter 18. When Peter cut the guy's ear off, Jesus puts the ear back on. He says, in verse 11, Jesus therefore said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Lord has given me, shall I not drink it? So that was already settled. And in the next chapter, we looked at some of this yesterday, as Christ is going out before Pilate, and Pilate speaks to him a second time and asks him, are you king? And Jesus refuses to answer, or doesn't answer. And Pilate says to him in verse 10, you do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? Jesus answered, you have no authority over me unless it has been given you from above. And for this reason, he who delivered me up to you has even greater sin. One of our favorite, Edith's favorite scripture in all the world from John 3. We've quoted again a lot this week. Where it says, John the Baptist says about Jesus, said, who comes from above is above all. They're not a victim of circumstances. They see everything from an above perspective, from heaven's perspective, heaven's reality. He who comes from above is above all, and he who's from the earth speaks to the earth, but he who's from above is above all. And Jesus bore witness of what he saw and heard. And that's how Jesus lived. Because he was in union with the Father, he was in the Father and the Father was in him, and because his will stayed yielded, like in the Gethsemane, he saw everything from the Father's perspective. He saw everything from heaven's perspective and spoke into every situation and acted into every situation in light of that reality. And therefore, Jesus was able to say to Pilate, you don't have any authority over me. He said, the only authority you have is because it's been given you from above, because that's how Jesus saw things from that place. That's how faith works. And it's true for us as Christians. In Christ, Christ is in me. I see things through the lenses, the mind of Christ, which is an above perspective, heaven's reality. We pray for people. Later, you're going to get a chance to pray for people to get healed. You don't just see their sickness. You see heaven's perspective. They're healed. And that's what you bear witness of, what you've seen and heard from above. Because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ, even though your feet are planted on the earth. But here's a cool thing, that when you stay in that place of being yielded and you know that you're in Christ and Christ is in you, like Christ knew he was in the Father and the Father was in him, you can say crazy things can be said about you, like this Acts 2 passage. After verse 22, it says in verse 23, "This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross," talking to Jews, "by the hands of godless Roman people and put him to death." But it says, "This man was delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God." In Acts chapter 4, I read this to you earlier, they're saying this. This is the Christians gathered together in the upper room. "For truly in this city there was gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you did anoint," Jesus you anointed, "gathered together both Pilate and Herod, along with the Gentiles, people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur." That's just crazy talk. But that's in Christ talk. That's when you're in the Father and the Father's in you and you're yielded. What you believe is that your destiny and your purpose and your days and your schedule is not being controlled by anybody else but him. That's how you see things. So you're living in the midst of a predetermined plan and whatever you've purposed to occur, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. That's a crazy way to live. See, here's the thing about Jesus. This is extra for some people. I've been reading some stuff in the Facebook where it talks about how humans murdered God. Jesus didn't suffer death. He accomplished it. There's a big difference. And he went to the cross having settled, "I'm in the Father, the Father's in me, and if I'm in the Father, he's telling his story through me." So when he told Pilate, what did he say to Pilate? "You don't have any authority over me. I'm in the Father." Unless it was given you from above. And if it was given you from above, then in the real sense, that's why I love that station there. It's the hands of the Father reaching down out of heaven, nailing Jesus to the cross. Do you understand how appropriate that is? How practical that is in your daily living? The truth is, you're in Christ and Christ is in you, just like he was in the Father and the Father was in him. But the challenge for us is to stay yielded. "Not my will, but yours be done." And therefore, do you really mean that? Jesus meant that. And because he meant that, he believed that. He wasn't wrestling with theology about who's God in charge, who's in control, yada, yada, boom, boom. Those are good discussions to have. But Jesus said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." And because he was yielded and he was in union with the Father, he believed the Father's will was being done, not the will of mankind or happenstance or circumstance. That's a crazy, wonderful way to live. That's seeing things from an above place. And you carry amazing authority. Again, as we said earlier in the week, you watch that little story from when he was arrested and ears being cut off and ears being put back on, people doing stuff. It really is obvious that Jesus is the one in charge the whole time. Because the Father's predetermined plan to do whatever your hand has purposed. If you're going to surrender to his will, then it would be nice for you to start believing that his will is actually being done. Instead of freaking out, reacting, and practicing the presence of the demonic. If you don't believe his will is going to get done, then why surrender to it? Not going to happen anyway, right? I don't want to surrender something to somebody who can't handle it. If they can't do the job, I don't want to give it to them. I surrender to his will because I believe he's going to do the job. He's going to tell his story, not your story, not the devil's story, not my story, but his story. Amen? That's a game changer to me. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.